Hour two, the home team, presented by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future elevated. Chris and Tyler with you for another hour and three quarters tonight. And then coverage of the Lady Dogs. They host Texas A&M at 7 o'clock. Now, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And Tyler, you may fire when ready.
Well, obviously the talk yesterday and the day before, I guess it was 2 days ago when it finally got announced that Georgia and Clemson will start off 2021 playing each other a neutral site game in Charlotte. What's flown under the radar, though, is that USC has canceled its game with UC Davis, extending their streak of never playing an FCS opponent, dating all the way back to when the two divisions split in 1978. Who would you like to see USC play to replace UC Davis?
To replace UC Davis?
Yes. You know, we don't have to be logistical about it. Just think of any team in the country you'd rather see them play than UC Davis.
So that was set for 2021 also.
Yes,
so
it
now
was.
There are still USC, UCLA, and Notre Dame.
Correct.
Are the three schools that have never played
an FCS
school. Although has UCLA scheduled one though, like USC did?
I think they may have.
But yeah, those are the three that have never played one. So USC was about to bounce on that with UC Davis. I mean, so if I could just throw anything out there, then USC and Bama are going to play to open up this season. So you wouldn't do them,
right?
I think it'd be cool if Georgia and USC played, but Georgia's already got Clemson locked in for 2021. I was thinking, like, you know, an Ohio State or Michigan would be something, but those two conferences lock up in
the Rose Bowl.
In Rose Bowls, USC and Texas played a pretty famous game against each other. What about USC and Oklahoma?
I think that'd be fun.
Okay, they're
definitely two blue blood programs, and that's the thing is like USC, for as down as they've been in the past decade or so. Yeah, you have a Rose Bowl win in there a couple years ago, like. They're still a huge branded college football.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, if they traveled to a Michigan or a Florida or something like that, like, it's going to be a hot ticket because they're still, it's still USC. I don't care if they're 1-11 last year. It's still USC.
Well, what if Georgia and Clemson weren't playing each other? What if we did USC and Clemson? But that's out. They've already... because I'm trying to look to see, all right, who are some big programs USC has... rarely played. They've played Clemson once.
Okay.
Big 12. They've played Oklahoma 8 times.
All right.
They've played Texas 7 times. Those are the two biggies in the Big 12. You know, the Big 10 is they've played Ohio State plenty. They've only played Michigan 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
But pass on that. Now let's see. Out of the SEC, other than Bama, they've played Bama 8 times. This year will be a 9th when they open up. You know, Georgia and USC have played the 3 times. What about Tennessee and USC?
Yeah, for an equal matchup, I think that'd be pretty good. Two programs that are kind of in that middle ground right now.
How about LSU and USC?
Now that LSU has lost all their parts and pieces, where it might be a little bit closer of a game, and obviously you have the added element of, you know, Coach O's history there, I think that could be pretty good.
They've played twice in their history. They played in 1979. And they played in 1984. The 79 game was in Baton Rouge. USC won there 17-12 in 1984. LSU went to LA in the Coliseum and won 23-3. So let's do that. Let's do 2021.
Okay.
LSU and USC. Although LSU probably already has someone scheduled in 21 too, don't they?
Probably.
Well, who cares? Just make them. I'm sure they've got some garbage game they could drop.
Well, here's the thing for USC when it comes to scheduling like these big non-conference games, because obviously the Pac-12 and every Power 5 conference, with the exception of the ACC and SEC, have 9 conference games. So they only have 3 non-conference games to play around with. They obviously play Notre Dame every single year. And they try and they play BYU pretty frequently, and they try and kind of at least work in one of those smaller, again, not an FCS school, but a Group of 5 team. Like, you know, they're playing New Mexico this year. They're playing Rice in 2022 as kind of that tune-up game. So they don't have as much leeway, I guess, as a Georgia or a Clemson would to schedule big non-conference opponents all the time.
Yeah, they've only, because like you said, they've got Notre Dame already booked, plus they do the extra league game. So there's only two, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that leaves them with two. LSU in 21 actually goes to UCLA, so
okay.
They're already booked in LA.
UCLA is definitely, you know, dipping its toes into playing some SEC schools. Obviously, they'll play us. They did that series with Texas A&M a couple years ago that resulted in some pretty wild games.
Well, they need Chip Kelly to get his act together then.
That's right. It's amazing how he left college football as this offensive wizard and came back just to be a middle-of-the-pack mediocre coach because everybody had caught and surpassed him.
Yeah, everyone's doing what he's doing now. He's not an innovator anymore.
Right.
And he never liked to recruit even when he was at Oregon.
Right.
But, you know, the thing, too, with USC and LSU, you then also would have the Coach O connection. So I think that would be it in 2021 would be LSU. USC replaces UC Davis with LSU.
Okay.
So how about this for LSU? Suck it up. You're LSU. You're just going to play 2 weeks in a row, and you're going to play at the Rose Bowl, play UCLA the next week. You're going to go to the Coliseum and play. You're going to get a two-week vacation to start the year in LA, so you'll cancel your home game September 11th against McNeese.
I think that's
fair. So September 4th at UCLA, September 11th at USC, come home and play Central Michigan.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, there you go. We've worked it all out.
Looking at UCLA's future non-conference opponents, you mentioned them playing LSU in 21 and 25. They play us in 25-26, Auburn 27-28, and Wisconsin 29-30. They're definitely really trying to get out there and play these high-profile non-conference opponents.
Yeah, well, I don't. Chip Kelly doesn't seem to be to have a really long-term outlook there, but he better get it going.
What are the chances Chip Kelly's the coach when they host us in 25? Very low.
Oh, yeah. At this point, less than 10%, to virtually like 0% chance Chip Kelly is still UCLA's coach when Georgia goes there.
What about next year when they host LSU?
I mean, that might be at best. It's 50-50 right now.
Yeah. Now, it was Wazoo that they beat in that wild comfort behind game, right?
Yes.
Of course, I mean, that's just Pac-12 after dark in general.
Yeah, when they were just getting...
They came back from like 30 points down or something.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous.
I think they had a kick return for a touchdown, a punt return for a touchdown. They scored in a bunch of different ways.
It wasn't Kelly's innovative offense by any means.
No, but that's, that was it for him.
Sticking in college sports in general, the NCAA announced that now everybody will get one no controversy transfer for pretty much all the sports. You can go somewhere, you don't have to get the appeal waiver or anything like that. You just, one transfer where you don't have to sit out. With every decision like this made by the NCAA, there's always unintended consequences. What do you see the possible unintended consequences of this being?
Well, the fear, I guess, is that it just creates sort of a free agent system. But
it's like you only get one, so you better do it right.
See, I think they're in a weird way, while they seem to be more liberal now with the policy, while this makes it look like, all right, you're going to get to go and transfer once. Because what's been happening now with the waiver rule, where it's one guy is eligible, the other one's not. And I read where, poor Luke Ford legitimately transferred home last year to be closer to his sick grandfather who passed away a couple days ago. And he
didn't get to play.
He didn't get to play. But Westwood Tate Martell got to leave and play, and Aubrey Solomon got to leave and play, and we know the list. Justin Fields got to leave and play. That there's been no consistency. There's really no sense that can be made of that. So to at least eliminate that, I think it's smart to do it. But I think it's also smart because in an underhanded way, they're now limiting transfers.
Yes.
Which is, all right, you could transfer once. And then after that, though, what are you trapped there beyond that?
I was like, you better get it right. You can't just bounce between three teams in 4 years just because was it USC that left after like one day on campus or something?
Well, yeah, and then he went to Texas and then went back to USC.
Yeah, it's like, you can't do that.
Yeah, I'm for. Want to go? You go. Because I mean, look at what Mel Tucker did at Colorado. You know, now he's bringing Jay Johnson with them. Those guys can leave. They can move all over. They can do that. I'm for the players being able to do it. But even me, when what was it? Brew McCoy is his name, the receiver.
Yep.
When you sign, enrolled at USC, because he was an early enrollee.
Yep.
Was there for like a week.
Yeah.
And went, I'm out of here.
Done.
Now, with that, too, you have to say Cliff Kingsbury was his OC. He ends up taking the Cardinals job. So maybe I signed here and I was going to play for Cliff Kingsbury. He's gone. I want to go. All right, fine. So he went to Texas. But then he goes through an entire spring practice there.
Yep.
And then still ends up at USC. Even I, for that, was like, maybe he does need to sit out a year.
Right.
But
well, and that's the thing. You know, not having to go through the appeals process and take it on a case-by-case basis. And, you know, this essentially covers, for the most part, oh, my coach left. I didn't commit to this school. I committed to my coach. Like, okay, well, you got one shot to move on then. You just can't keep doing it.
Well, and even it avoids the nonsense like what George is going through now with this Tom Mars and Cade Mays. And you know,
you don't have to sue your former school to get eligibility elsewhere.
Right. And then have Tom Mars out there saying like Georgia leaked that. You've got this back and forth and everything. You could just, there's no problem. You're gonna go.
Right.
I think in a roundabout way, it's making the NCAA look a little more lenient when it comes to transfers. But at the same time, I think they're still blocking them when it's only one time now that you can go. But I still say, well, what if you show up at one place and whatever coach you end up at, they're free to move on.
Yeah.
And after that, maybe you want to go somewhere else.
Right. Well,
I mean, I have no problem with that.
Well, the NCAA is, I think, more concerned right now about trying to prevent the players from being paid. They're up in front of Congress trying to deal that out and figure out how to regulate it as much as they can. I think that's their main concern.
Yeah, that's the biggie. Because right now, all the people who are pocketing money, like the coaches and the administrators, like you ask, well, if the players did sometime down the road start getting paid, where'd that money come from? It would come from your paychecks.
Well, hey, Dabo Swinney said, if these guys start getting paid, I'm going to do something else.
Yeah, that's the bluff I really want to call.
Sorry, Clemson, your dynasty may be ending in the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's the bluff I really want to see called right now. Really, you'd walk away from your $7 million a year job?
Yeah.
All right.
Where you know you're never going to get fired ever.
And even if you do get fired at some point, you're going to get paid to go away.
You get a ridiculous severance package.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, Trevor Lawrence suddenly makes minimum wage or something like that.
Yeah. That's as much as anything, seeing the players get something more than they are now is just to call his bluff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ow, that's the dadgummest thing. That's not what I really meant.
Yeah. Like, there was a couple of years ago, I think the AD at, like, Iowa or Purdue even had some comment about, like, well, if I had to start figuring out what to pay the players, I guess I'd just have to go do something else. And, like, okay, so you'd walk away from your six-figure-a-year job because you got to figure out. And, like, I got an idea for you. You know how you figure out that you pay the football coach more than the women's golf coach? That's how you would do it with players.
Yeah.
The same way you do it with your coaches.
Right.
Yeah. That's how you'd figure it out. I believe I'd have to go do something else. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see Dabo's bluff called on that.
Well, hey.
Well, I'd quit my job.
Sure.
All right. I'm sure you would.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it happens in the next couple of years, his son would be one of those guys finally getting paid.
Yeah. Well, then his son would have to support the family, I guess.
Yes, so.
His son would be the breadwinner because Dabo would quit.
That's right. His son that holds the ball on all field goal attempts.
Yeah. Honey, I quit my job today. Why? Because my employees are actually going to start getting paid.
My $7 million a year salary has gone down to $6.5 million.
Yeah. Well, now zero because I quit.
Well, I guess. I don't know.
But that's okay because our son, he'll start making.
That's right.
He's going to get paid now.
That's right.
Yeah.
You keep holding those footballs, son.
Mm-hmm.
You'll make it at the next level. Speaking now on to a recent college football player, Joe Burrow, who, of course, is going to be the number one pick in the draft. We assume in a couple months, you know, rumors going around that maybe he pulls an Eli Manning and refuses to be picked by the Bengals, or to play for the Bengals, at least.
That's not a terrible idea.
I was going to say,
the Bengals are really...
Do you see this being realistic?
Yeah, because it's happened before. Maybe Eli's a good example, and John Elway did it too. The thing with John Elway, though, is the leverage he had was, hey, I'm going to go play baseball.
Yeah.
You know, with Eli, he didn't have that, but it was just, look, I'm not going to sign with you. I'm not going to play for you, so don't draft me.
Here's the thing, because it was the Chargers with Eli, right?
Right.
And they were awful at that point in time. Like, Eli's dad knew what it was like to be on an awful NFL team.
Well, and then you saw what they did with Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. I mean, they were sort of like, it's this notorious cheap franchise that would attempt to lowball you on your salary and everything.
Right.
And so I'm sure Archie knew what was up.
Well, I mean, you look at the Bengals, they held on to Marvin Lewis for 16 years? They could have fired him a decade ago.
Well, and just how about this year? They hold training camp at some field where the turf was shoddy, and then AJ Green, their best player, gets injured, misses the entire season.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm amazed AJ stayed with him as long as he has.
Yeah, I mean, has he signed basically one contract with him after his rookie deal?
Because his rookie deal would have been up, that'd be 2014 or 15, because they're three-year deals, right?
Yeah.
I guess it would have only...
usually, I guess, four-year with a fifth-year option?
Maybe. Anyway, yeah, he's only signed one contract with them. But, I mean, like, again, they were consistently making the playoffs, but they weren't winning games. And it's like, okay, well, we're going to cut bait with Marvin Lewis, which, again, you could have done a decade before and would have made a difference. It's just a franchise that treads water, and I really don't know anything about their owners, but they don't seem to be very in tune with how to run a successful team.
No, they have not won a playoff game since, I guess they...
Was it when they went to the Super Bowl?
It was when they were in the Super Bowl and lost to the Niners is the last time they won a playoff game. They've been in the playoffs.
Yeah,
since.
Was that late 80s?
Yeah, it was the 88 season, right? 88 season, so technically the Super Bowl of 89.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, January of 89.
Wow. So I've never been alive for a Bengals playoff win. That's amazing. Or a Lions one, for that matter.
No, because the Lions haven't won a playoff game since since they were made the NFC Championship game.
Right.
In 90, I guess that was 91 or 92 then for them. But yeah, the Bengals are just a horrible franchise. But if they were like, all right, you know what, Burrow, you don't want to play here, we're not going to draft you. I think Joe Burrow is going to be a really good pro player.
Well, and I think Joe Burrow knows his own worth too.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I do. I'd buy stock in Joe Burrow, but he's still a quarterback that had, I mean, this one breakout season in college. It's not like he did it for a couple of years.
Right.
Like, he was, as we all know, I mean, a year ago, he was completely mediocre.
He put up fewer stats than Fromm in 2018.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was like the 10th rated passer in the SEC in 2018. But he blossomed into the superstar last year. For me in this draft, like, the one guy that I think is no doubt about it, no questions, is going to be a stud NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the Bengals and you're holding the number one pick, and I know how important quarterback is in the NFL, and I don't think Burrow's going to be a bust, but if you're the Bengals and you're holding the number one pick and Burrow's waffling on whether or not I would play for you, I'd take Chase Young. Chase Young is the guy that I think, there's no doubt about it, that guy is going to be a dominant NFL player.
Yeah.
That's the one guy in this draft for me that I would.
Well, I mean, USC has a good reputation of producing pass rushers.
Yeah, well, no, Ohio State.
Ohio State, that's what I meant.
With recently the Boses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look no further. What else do you need?
Yeah, but no, Young would be the one guy in this draft that I think is ticketed for, no doubt about it, guaranteed superstar in the NFL.
So,
I mean, I think Burrow will be too, but I wouldn't, you know, he's got higher bust potential, I think, than Young does.
I was going to say, if Burrow does hold out on the Bengals, where would he go? Because, I mean, like, obviously we know the Dolphins need a quarterback, the Chargers.
Then I guess, I mean, the Lions are holding number three, right?
Because
number two is Washington.
Yes, they are, got Dwayne Haskins.
But, you know, I mean, they could take Burrow and just say, eh.
Sorry, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Cardinals did.
They took Rosen. They took Rosen higher than the Skins took Haskins.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals traded up to get Rosen.
Yep. He gets 1 year behind an atrocious offensive line and a team with no defense.
But if you don't want to play for Cincinnati, I can't see if you're Burrow, like, well, guess what? I don't want to play for Washington either. That's a wretched franchise, too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, how much more appealing would, like, a Detroit be?
I think Detroit would be more appealing than Detroit is, like, they've never been to the Super Bowl. They've been terrible, but for some reason, they don't seem as just inept and incompetent as Washington and Cincinnati.
They were horrible last year until they lost Matt Stafford. Then they fell off the rails. But it's like, okay, well, we have solid quarterback play. We can be a good team. And honestly, being a Georgia fan, I'd love to see Matt Stafford go elsewhere where he's going to have a lot more potential to go further.
Yeah, if he had a chance to make a difference somewhere. Right. Like maybe he'd end up with the Chargers.
Maybe so.
Maybe he could end up in Tampa.
Yeah. Oof.
Bruce Arians.
That might be bad news for the Falcons then.
Yeah.
Well, we already got Drew Brees coming back next year.
It is like something that's so Burrow, I don't want to play for the Bengals. Like, oh, wait a second. I don't want to play for Washington. Wait. I don't want to play for Detroit either. So then who's holding four? Is that the Giants?
I think so. But I mean, Daniel Jones, they're not going to draft him.
Yeah. And then you got the Dolphins at number five. So the Dolphins are a poor franchise,
too. They seem to have their sights set on Tua, though.
Yeah, but here's what they've done. In a year they were tanking, they end up with only the fifth pick of the draft, and now they likely won't get Burrow, and they might not even end up getting Tua unless they have to trade with the Lions, because the Lions they've got some leverage now at number three.
Yeah.
And all the talk about them maybe taking Tua is probably just to make the Dolphins trade up to, I guess Miami would have to trade up to number two with Washington.
Yeah.
So all that draft capital that they've built up, now you got to spend it.
Yep.
Just to move up to take this quarterback that you have to draft, that you have to do now because you weren't good at tanking.
Right.
Because you won too many games tanking.
A quarterback that suffered a really bad injury to end his college career that you're not going to see do really anything before the draft. So for all intents and purposes, he's damaged goods forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary. But if he is healthy, he does put off Russell Wilson vibes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But again, it's like...
That's me talking myself into...
That's right. Well, obviously, you're a Dolphins fan. Hey, you know, if Tua doesn't work out, you can always bring back Fitzmagic.
I think that's the plan anyway.
Well, here's the thing. It's amazing to me that Ryan Fitzpatrick, literally every single team he goes to, he is brought in as a backup, and he always finds a way onto the field. Like, if I'm a quarterback in the NFL, and they bring in Fitzpatrick as my backup... Like, I'm finding every four-leaf clover I can, golden horseshoe. Like, I'm any lucky charm I can find because I know I'm going to get injured because now Fitzpatrick is my backup
quarterback. Either that or you're just going to end up getting benched
because exactly.
The magic is too strong.
He does not go to a team and not play.
No, yeah. But that's – with Burrow and you don't want to play for a bad franchise and then, like, every single team picking, like, the first five picks are just these – horrific franchises.
Right.
I mean, think about that. For the Dolphins are going to end up having to trade up to number two to block the Lions from getting Tua.
Right.
And all because the Dolphins, in a year they were tanking, won too many games.
Yep.
Yeah. They couldn't even tank right.
Well, at the beginning of the season, they looked like the best tanking team of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, just giving away players and blowing games disastrously.
Yeah, I mean, they traded Tunsil. They ended up trading Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. I mean, Minka Fitzpatrick, the other Fitzpatrick. And they picked up these draft picks for him. And now they're going to have to use them all to move up in this draft if they want to get Tua.
Yep.
Because they were incompetent tankers.
Right. But hey, now there's an extra spot in the playoffs now, so they got a slightly better chance to go to the postseason.
Yeah. Well, they did beat the Patriots, though.
Well, they're always good for at least one win against the Patriots every year.
Yep. That was a good win, though. Knocked New England out of a bye. Basically, at that point, you knew, like, New England's not winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, no.
You're welcome, America.
Well, now, and hey, maybe you don't have to deal with Tom Brady anymore in the AFC East.
He's going to end up back there.
You think so?
Yeah.
You don't think Giselle's going to push him to go to L.A.?
If he's coming back for anything other than you know, I still want to make money.
Yeah.
But if he's just like, I want to stick around because I want to win another Super Bowl, the best place for him that gives him the best chance to do that is to stay in New England.
Right.
So if that, I don't know what his motivation is for wanting to still play. Maybe it is just, no, I'm whatever he is, 41 years old, and I'm not going to be collecting any more paychecks after this.
Right.
So I want to make as much money as I can. So I'm going to go to whoever wants to pay me the most. And then that's one thing. But if he's only sticking around because I think I can win another Super Bowl, the team that gives him the best chance to do that is New England.
Right.
So he should stay there. And I think he will.
Well, if he doesn't stay in New England and they don't draft a quarterback, which I think they will, is it Jarrett Stidham time up in New England?
No, no way. They'll they'll either bring in someone in free agency, and they might draft anyway. I guess, did Mel Kiper have them taking Eason in his mock draft 2.0?
There were some drafts where I saw them taking Fromm.
Yeah, I think Mel Kiper 2.0 had Eason going there.
I mean, I could see either one.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they do a little swap with L.A. and get Phillip Rivers out there.
Yeah, I mean, they could do, yeah. Rivers is...
Because again, I mean, he's only going to be there for a year or two at most anyway.
Well, he moved to Florida. He's done with the Chargers.
That's right. He and all of 11 of his kids.
Yes. All right, that's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.